Are we ready?
No.
Okay. So we're starting this, even though we didn't say we're ready.
We're not ready.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So, everybody, welcome to the Ghoulcast.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Glenn.
Scara.
David.
Oh, boy.
Wait. Where's what? Paul?
Paul? I don't know.
Did anybody call Paul?
No.
Nope.
I haven't heard from him in days.
Uh-huh.
No.
Bigfoot got him.
Wow. Should I try to call him?
No, I don't know.
All right. We're going to actually try to text Paul to see if he's okay, because he's missing from the Ghoulcast tonight, and nobody's heard from him, so it could very well be that he was abducted by some kind of sea creature.
It could be.
Could be. But first, I think there's something that you wanted to talk about, Glenn.
Yeah. So this coming Saturday, which would be May 11th?
2024. That's right.
To make this so it's not evergreen, this right. One part. We are having an event at the Flint Farmers Market called Mayhem at the Market.
Mayhem at the Market.
Yeah.
Presented by the Flint Horror Collective.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is the three of us.
Yes.
And two missing people.
Yes. Audrey is also missing.
Yeah.
Maybe she did away with Paul.
Maybe, or it's something that only takes canalysis. Canalisi?
Canalisi.
Ah.
Yes.
More than one canalis, I don't know.
Yes. Canelinoids.
Canelinoids.
Canelinoids from the deep. I like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'll just go right into that, too, so we'll just start the podcast.
But wait, it's a free event, right?
It is a free event.
Free event. At the Flint Farmers Market.
Flint Farmers Market.
Lots of vendors.
A little over 20 vendors. And Crossroads Village is going to be there to promote oddities.
And curiosities.
And curiosities, both?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Capitol is going to be there because I believe that they're doing a series of horror and sci-fi movies at the Capitol coming up.
That's
during
great.
The spring and summer.
Yeah. Wow,
and
that's
if nothing
cool
else,
with a capital C.
It is cool with a capital C.
Nothing else, you can get yourself a taste of some fancy cheeses.
You can, but I mean, we're not selling the cheeses.
Wait, we don't have cheese?
Just at the Flint Farmers Market.
Oh
yeah.
Sarah's right.
Fancy cheese.
There is fancy cheese.
It was really good.
There is fancy cheese there.
Although Paul's going to be there, and his nickname is Fancy Cheese.
Yes, if he's still with us.
That's true.
Because we don't know where he's at.
It's a Scooby-Doo mystery.
It is. So, Fancy Cheese, if you're out there, give us a buzz.
That's true. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was just thinking, too, if we're plugging stuff.
Yes.
And we're talking about plugging Paul, or talking about Paul.
Plugging Paul.
I mean, talking about Paul.
Sorry, Paul.
I want to plug, too, that I want to plug Paul, too. No,
Who doesn't want to plug Paul?
He wrote the intro to my brand new book.
Oh, cool.
Called the Appalachian. Is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Appalachian.
Depends on where you're from.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I call it Appalachian. Appalachian?
Right. I don't think the people in Appalachia would call it that, but
Appalachian Horror.
Yeah.
Is my new book. Paul wrote the intro to it, and I'm going to have brand new hot off the press copies at the market.
Yeah.
For sale for very few pennies. Very few pennies.
Very few.
And from what I understand, it's a very interesting book.
You wrote it, wouldn't you know?
Well, people have been telling me that it's very interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I hope that you can be down there to meet me and Scara and Glenn, and if Paul is still alive, Paul, call us. We miss you.
Yeah.
Canelinoids from the deep.
Canelinoids up from the
deep. And that's my little plug.
Yeah. So tonight we're doing one on, we're going to call it Underwater Horror. But there's lots of other things that I thought about with this topic that I think might be interesting too. So, and we're doing it because this year's the 70th anniversary of
Canelinoids from the Deep.
Creatures from Black Lagoon. Creature from Black Lagoon. Not
from the Black Lagoon.
Canellas from the Black Lagoon.
Humanoids from the Black Lagoon.
Sure.
Yes.
So Creature from Black Lagoon turned 70 this year.
Wow.
And I think it was like last month too. To be more precise.
No, it was.
Was it?
Yep, okay. It was last month being April. This is now May.
This is now May.
Was it March? No, I think it was April.
Yeah.
Well, watch me.
Well, it's at least this year.
I'm going to dig into my memory banks.
Right.
And try to remember
you do what that. It was. You do that. With your internet-like memories. Intellect. Your internet-like intellect. So, yeah, no, it turns 70 this year. Super, super cool movie. Old black and white universal horror. The creature often is called the Gill Man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was actually February 12th, 1954.
Super cool.
So we're way
perfect
late.
Perfect Valentine's Day movie.
We're way late.
Right.
We should start over.
All right. So we're not going to do that topic anymore. We're going to... This is going to become a podcast about a murder mystery, and we're going to say it's the Canellis' murder mystery.
That's right.
And try to figure out who did it.
That's right.
Who killed the Canellis?
Who did?
Canellinoids from the deep. I like that.
Yeah.
No, that is great, though. 70th anniversary. I can't believe that it is that old.
It is.
And that creature still holds up.
That movie is incredible because, today I was talking to the missing Canellis. And there was...
Wait, I thought you...
Man, I boned it.
Yeah. Before he disappeared, you were talking to him.
Before he disappeared, I was talking to him, and... One of the things that was interesting was, like, how good the makeup was during Universal times. But I pointed out to him, like, look, I mean, this has, like, underwater camera shots that were super difficult for that time.
Yeah.
That things like, Dracula and Frankenstein didn't have to go through. And that suit is incredible that
right.
nobody even died in it, let alone that yeah. those guys were in it.
I don't even know how they did that.
No. I guess they were both like stuntmen and, so yeah, they were the original Fall Guys, I guess.
Yeah. And that to this day is, in my humble opinion, still what many sea creature, humanoid type monsters in movies and fiction base its design from.
Oh yeah.
There are other ones, obviously, other variants, but that was the first, and it's still very relevant in creature design.
It is.
Even if you look at, what's his name, Egg Sapien? Not Egg.
Abe
Sapien.
Call him Egg Sapien.
Wait,
he likes eggs.
Right. But that's not Abe Sapien in...
Underwater? The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water, right. Did you see Shape of Water?
I did.
It's very
super cool.
Yeah, but that's not Abe Sapien. Same director, but it looks right. like it could be a relative of Abe Sapien. But he likes eggs, so we call him Egg Sapien.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've not heard that yet.
Yeah, but that he's still a very a more modernized creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And similar story because Creature from the Black Lagoon at its core is a romance. It's a love mm-hmm. story
between a fish and a chick.
Yeah.
Lonely.
Yes.
Yeah.
A fish, man.
Fish.
A fish, dude.
It's a fish, man.
It's a fish, man.
Dude.
I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, actually.
I have many action figure.
I was going to say.
And a lunchbox.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do.
Cool.
Did I get you the lunchbox?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a wall dedicated to the creature in one of our rooms.
Neat.
Yeah. Oh, there's one. I don't remember the creator of the toy, but he's like. It's a rubber toy, a little tiny one. It can't really move his arms.
Yeah.
But his fins are, you can't see me, but it's like his fins are like his arms are back, and it looks like he's going, what?
Huh?
Huh? Yeah, that's a good one.
His mouth slightly open, like, huh?
Yeah.
Got a goofy look on his face.
Yeah,
I didn't fart in the tub of bubbles.
Oh, that reminds me of Paul. But, I think he's my favorite creature from the Universal Monsters.
Yeah, he is possibly mine too. I mean, there's a lot of, emotional impact with Frankenstein as a character, of course, especially when Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Creature's amazing.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a romance?
Yeah. He is my favorite Universal monster.
Yeah.
As much as I love the Wolfman.
Sure.
I think he's the close second. And Frankenstein's cool, and you know, all the guys are cool. And
all the dudes are cool.
And that invisible guy.
Yeah.
The fly doesn't count as that, though, does he?
I don't think so. No. I mean, we'd have to have our Universal expert here to let us know that, but he's missing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just not complete.
He's the Invisible Man today.
He could be here.
He could be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. He is the Hollow Man.
He is.
Hollow personality. No. So, see, that's what you get, Paul, for not being here. Even if you're lost at sea, you know. Like being attacked by a creature from underwater.
Right, right. Yeah. So what are some of the others that you guys...
You know, I better let Sarah go first.
Okay.
You have a list.
Okay.
And well, and I have a lot to say about underwater monsters.
So one that's near and dear to us is Humanoids from the Deep. Such a great film.
It is super cool.
We just got a action figure from Humanoids. He's like, maybe like 4 or 5 inches tall.
Oh, cool.
He's just really neat looking. Kind of small, but like, I don't want to take him out of the box. It's a very good, very good film.
It is. It's pretty cool. I think it's Joe Dante. Mm. It's been a long time, so I don't remember that. But yeah, no. In Italy, Sergio Martino, who, in my opinion, is my favorite giallo director. Mm-hmm. He made lots of cool giallos, but he also made a movie with Barbara Bach, and it's called The Island of Fishmen.
Nice.
And it's very Humanoids of the Deep.
Yeah.
And it was made, like, in 1979. So I think it's, like, directly, like, you know, Italy going, hey, let's make a Humanoids of the Deep movie.
Right, let's rip this off. We can get it.
It felt like it was like just a straight up like rip off from that.
Right.
Yeah. But it's really cool. And Barbara Bach, some of you might know from a cool giallo movie. She was in a bunch of like the Sergio Martino again, some of his. But she was also, she has been since I think the 70s, Ringo Starr's wife.
Oh.
So that's how she's a little bit more famous for who she married. But right. How are you going to do that, right?
Right, yeah.
It's Ringo Starr.
Seriously.
Yeah. You could be an astronaut and still be like, just married to Ringo Starr. But I've been on the moon. No big deal. You married Ringo Starr.
Nice.
Nice. No, Humanoids.
When I was little, I wanted to marry the Beatles.
All four?
One of any of them.
Yeah. You could have a Beatle per season. But like I'm only with.
I was so little.
You're my summer husband, John. John, you're my summer husband. George, clearly you're my winter husband.
Nice.
Although you probably want one that wasn't so skinny in winter. So don't pick George for winter. But yeah, no.
To say,
the Island of Fishmen was super cool takeoff from Humanoids of the Deep.
Yes. Yeah. I love Humanoids from the Deep.
Yeah?
Yes. That okay. was one of my favorite ones, too. Yeah, the, I can't remember what, because Joe Bob was talking with Roger Corman about it. Uh-huh. And I mean, he was just, there's a lot of details that I can't remember just, like, distinctively, but I know that they shot it,
mm-hmm.
and there's a female director.
Oh, okay.
And she shot it in a certain kind of way, and then when it was done, Roger was like, no, this like needs more sex. And so they, they reshot it, I think, without her permission.
Oh, wow.
And I just want to make sure this thing's still going because...
I will say, I saw it as a kid, pre-HBO, that one, we had something called Channel 100 in the Flint area. It was like pre-HBO. Before HBO even existed, and I saw Humanoids on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was way too young.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because of that, but the birth scene.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. That was great.
Terrifying.
I absolutely love that birth scene. That is great.
For an 8-year-old, not a cool thing to see.
Wasn't right, it that they only had, like, 3 suits that they were able to use for... The creatures?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, cool. I think there was only 2 or 3 actual creature suits, and they made it look like it
was
more. Yeah, especially at the end.
Shot it.
Right.
The entire onslaught of the creatures. Yeah, they reshot a bunch of stuff. I don't think she was happy about that.
Okay.
But Roger Corman was like, meh, whatever.
All right.
And there's so much to that movie to love. That's a comfort movie for me.
Oh, cool.
I will go to that any old time if... Because it's always on Tubi or something else, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. it's like, if I'm working from home and I want something that I love that I don't have to pay attention to,
right.
that goes right on there. And then Maxine, our dog, you know, there's a dog in that movie.
Okay.
And she'll watch it. She'll watch any movie, but she watches that and then gets excited about the dog.
Right.
And then there's a part where the dog gets attacked.
No.
And she Whoa. Is always just like, oh. Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, that just holds a really special place for me, that one. And weird that they remade it in the 90s. I think they used scenes from the original in it, but they cut out all the good shit.
Okay.
I remember forgetting about it when it first came out, the remake, and then revisiting it not too long ago and thinking, like, what's wrong with this movie? It's just so dull.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. It was really, really dull. Huh.
Yeah.
And I can't remember everything about it, but Vic Morrow is in that before he died.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Because it's only maybe 5 years later when the accident happens.
Right.
Wow.
Of course, he was in it before he died.
Was he? Okay.
I'm just saying, that was a stupid thing to say. No, he was in it after he died.
He died. They sewed it back together and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but that one just immediately comes to mind. That Creature from the Black Lagoon is like the godmother of all of those. But Humanoids is like the evil cousin of that movie. And the design for those creatures, the really...
Big heads.
The big head and the long arms.
And the screechy sound they make.
Always freak me out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the like the big brains on them.
Yep.
They were like mutant salmon or something.
Right, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they would kill them, they would show all the gore and the good stuff.
Yeah, the Italian one, like I was mentioning, the only good thing about it is their fishman suit. Looks really great.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sergio Martino directed it.
What is it? Island of the Fishmen?
Island of the Fishmen. And Barbara Bach is the main star in it. You know her from, she was in Caveman, the comedy.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
remember her?
Yeah. With Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her husband.
Oh, was that really her husband?
It still is.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, all this time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No.
Pays to be a beetle, I guess.
It does.
What is the other one I'm thinking of? It's another Italian one with fish people.
I don't know, but Sergio Martino, the same year he made Island of the Fishmen, he did make another one called The Great Alligator.
That has a great alligator.
Giant alligator that attacks people. And of course... used almost the same exact cast, because Barbara Bach's the main star of that one as well. And, yeah, I mean, that leads into, like, you know, you have all those alligator movies and all kinds of great stuff.
Oh, yeah, see, Island of the Fishmen, that's the one. But, no, there is, shit.
Ew.
No, damn it, I'm just, oh gosh, I'm gonna kill myself if I don't remember what it is, and all that's bringing up is that damn movie. It's like, and they're in caves.
Right. I have no idea what you're talking about. But you know what? If you guys that are listening know the answer to this, come to Mayhem at the Market on May 11th and tell us.
We'll give you a free sticker.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, just...
But, you know, one of the things that this leads me to is... And, you know, clearly both DC and Marvel are awesome, but leads me to Swamp Thing and Man Thing.
Mm-hmm. I love Swamp Thing. I love underwater creatures, just in general.
Yeah. And Swamp Thing was such a fun movie.
Yes.
I even liked Return to Swamp Thing. And I know how much worse it is.
In the Adrienne Barbeau.
Yeah.
She's so sweet.
It's such a goof that the second one.
Yeah.
Have you seen the TV show with Derek?
I actually have never seen I think I've seen a couple episodes, but I knew it would be like one of those long haul things because I think wasn't it like 5 or 6 seasons.
The newer DC one?
Oh, there is two, one. Though. I think that there's two. Right?
Wait, no, the new one, oh, it was only one season.
Was it?
But yeah, they canceled it, like, as it was premiering that season. Yeah, there's something happened. Yeah, Derek Pierce is a great Swamp Thing.
Yes, and his suit is wonderful. We were watching Swamp Thing not too long ago, and it had, like, his, like, really, like, rubbery-looking hand, you know, just the creases in it. You're just like, hey, that's a rubber hand.
Rubber hand.
Rubber.
Oh, my God, this is kind of making me
And Man-Thing.
Man-Thing.
He's amazing as well.
Yeah.
Though not, like, I mean, he was the, wasn't he, like, the original before Swamp Thing came out? As far as, like, the comic books go?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure which one predates. I mean, Swamp Thing's had a much longer career.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gone all the way through. You know, you can even read Alan Moore doing Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Which is amazing that such a great writer that writes, like, Pulitzer-style stuff is writing Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Things that are so heady.
So, like, Man-Thing got a little, like, reboot in Werewolf by Night.
Yes.
He's so adorable. Of
course, so awesome.
I had to buy the Funko Pop of him. Like, the black and white version of it. I was like, duh, you're so cute.
He is pretty adorable.
Ted.
Is that what they named it?
They named him Ted.
Ted. Yeah,
that's his name.
He's that's so cool. Name.
Very nice.
Okay, I'm done trying to figure this one out. Sorry, I'm just, like,
no, it,
tripping out.
It,
on
it. Like, it might not even exist, so.
No, no, it is. It's, like, it's... Not is it Screamers? Not Scream. Maybe it's got. Maybe Screamers is a different name for it. But I mean, it's almost exactly.
Screamers is actually the other name for the Island of Fishmen.
Damn you!
Oh, so maybe it's okay.
So that is the other name for Island of Fishmen.
Were they in caves?
Yeah, I mean, at some point they were in caves. I'm sure. So it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't. I'll have to visit it.
I just remember as a kid thinking that Barbara Bach was a cutie.
Oh, yeah, Screamers, that is. That must be the other one that I'm thinking of.
Right.
It's got to be. Oh, yeah, Richard Johnson from Zombie is in it.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yep, sorry. So, yeah, I'm totally thinking of that. Yeah, Screamers. That's the one.
Right.
Yeah, so all this time and all I'm doing is just. Well, how much? 13% remaining. So we've got this low battery going on.
You have a charger.
Oh, yeah. So,
we've gone from 21 to 13% in 22 minutes.
Woo!
Good job, Paul. Thanks for not being here.
Yeah.
You know, what a jerk.
C charger?
Let me go get keep talking, everybody.
So, I mean, there's so many underwater monster movies.
Okay, so the movie Underwater.
Underwater. That is another recent great one. I'm like...
Yes.
You know, there's a giant list. And I know that we've gotten a little distracted because I'm trying to figure out the alternate title of things, etc. And then there's a battery thing. But, you know, if we're talking underwater creatures and everything else, like, you gotta go and say Godzilla is an underwater monster creature.
Absolutely.
You know, yes. Godzilla.
Yeah.
Do we have power?
We are powered.
Okay. Oh my god. I have the power. Godzilla. I mean, is... Whew, my god.
And Year Zero? They use the underwater stuff so well in that.
Yay.
Like, that is...
In what?
The new one's Year...
Minus One?
Minus One.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just watched that last night again.
I just mixed up Batman with Godzilla somehow.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's okay.
Yeah, they just released that 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah?
On Amazon Prime in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's available everywhere now. And watching that again, it was still just like so astounding, amazing.
Yeah.
It's underwater terror, man. Like,
yeah.
Man, still knowing the plot, I'm still moved by all the plot points.
Mm-hmm.
I had tears in my eyes just watching it for, I guess, the third, fourth time, whatever.
Probably one of the best underwater horror movies, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's amazing.
I want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so damn good. So Godzilla is like, you know, the godfather of underwater creature monsters. And,
yeah.
You know, the Gill Man is just like his little buddy. You know.
What's really cool is the when they rebooted Gamera in the 90s, that trilogy,
mm-hmm.
it starts off where there's a movie Atoll. So there's like these rocks that are moving around. They're like, what is this thing? Mm-hmm. Ends up being Gamera, like reawakening. Yay. So Gamera ends up as a sea creature for a moment in those 1990s
mm-hmm.
Gamera reboots, those were great reboots.
Yeah. I just watched the Guardian of the Universe, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had Guardian of the Universe, the Revenge of Idris.
Right.
Wait, is it... No... What? Oh, yeah, and then Attack of Legion. I think that's the third one.
The Smog Monster.
And then, for whatever reason, after those three incredible movies, remember we just watched that documentary. It was like super thorough YouTube documentary on Gamera.
Yeah.
And they did the 90, yeah.
It was really good.
Super thorough. They did the 90s trilogy.
Okay.
And then they made a fourth one for kids.
Okay.
Did you know that?
Well, Gamera's always been kind of trying to lean towards more of a younger audience. Like, even that trilogy isn't as bloody or scary as normal kaijus are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It definitely has those aspects to it, like the more adult ones. But they made a fourth one, like whatever it was called, specifically for little kids.
Okay.
And Gamera looks like, hi, I'm Gamera. Absolutely.
So it's the baby Godzilla version of Gamera.
Yes.
Where it's like, this is clearly for kids.
Way cuter than the shitty baby Godzilla from like the Minya.
Yeah.
From you.
I you were saying in the documentary,
wanted to shoot him.
The best Gamera film, like, was with the children, that he had like a kind of like a love for humanity, so it really did really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what started it, more like for kids.
Right, and there's a few of the 70s ones that are almost like they're directly for kids when you watch them.
Oh yeah.
There's like a handful of those that I remember thinking, what is wrong with this Gamera? But they were made specifically for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you look up this documentary on YouTube, I can't remember the name, but it is super thorough. I never learned so much, never knew there was so much behind those movies and how utterly successful that they were
really?
At the time and just made for pennies, you know.
Wow.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even that reboot of Gamera from the 90s, it looked really cool for Gamera, but even that movie, it doesn't have the budget that the Godzillas had.
Oh, right.
You can tell, like, right away, you're like, okay, these guys are just playing with what they have laying around.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the Roger Corman of kaiju movies.
Yeah. And it would actually be super duper easy to spend, like, a whole 3-4 hours talking just about kaiju being underwater creatures.
Right.
You know, that's another... Did we do that before?
I don't know. We must have done a kaiju episode at some point.
I think we did yeah. somewhere along the line. Because, I mean, we could have not... How could we not have?
Right.
You know, we would be just failures.
Which we kind of are, but...
Yeah, well, because Paul's not here, we're better.
Oh, that's true.
We're better.
From, yeah.
Because we don't have the...
Don't have the anchor weighing us down.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what other ones do you have,
we miss Sarah? You, Paul.
I love The Abyss.
The Abyss, too.
It's one of my...
But you mean the movie, right?
Yeah. Okay, both. That one was really cool, because when it first came out, I was pretty little.
Yeah.
But it was so neat, just like for that... special effects where the water comes through, you know, it's like, oh hey, there's a bomb in here, you know, and then like it just is like dissipates when, you know, it gets caught by
Right. Very James. What's that, James Cameron? Because it looks very James Cameron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, James Cameron. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently it was a very, like, it was hell to be an actor or actress in that film.
Oh, God.
Ed Harris supposedly still to this day will not talk about that movie because he got so annoyed and pissed at the way he was treated. And, you know, Mary, what's her name?
Mary
Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. She was apparently, they had the CPR scene.
Yeah.
Apparently they had them tearing her shirt open so many times and redoing that apparently she was just like, fuck you, man. And so there's a lot of bad stories that we've heard.
Oh, wow. It,
you know, yeah. So, but yeah, what a movie though. What a movie.
I think one of the cool things about that movie, too, is that I wanted to mention this, is that there's some sort of, like, primitive brain thing that I think gives us that same fear of the ocean that we have of space.
Yeah.
So, like, before, as primitive man, we didn't have space to think about because we weren't there, but we at least had the oceans and lakes and whatnot. I think that's where man created that sort of weird fear that we have that like bubbles up because of its vastness. It's also unknown what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's
sharks.
Also, you can't breathe in either one, space or underwater.
And no one can hear you scream.
No one can hear you scream. Aliens, when you think about the deep, you have like octopus and stuff. There's nothing more alien than those type of creatures.
Very smart creatures.
Just one octopus?
One octopi?
Oh, that's what you meant.
Octopuses?
Octopuses. Octopals.
Octopals. And the idea of drifting away.
Right.
You know, you have that in space and in the ocean. So I think that weird primal fear is there. And they kind of coincide in a way.
Yes. Yes.
Of like.
Heck yeah. I understand what you're saying. And the ocean has some crazy shit in it, just still what we
super
do
unknown.
Know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's just a terror. I was just watching just scrolling and I saw a video of these, how do they call them, parasailers, when the like a boat will pull people on a parachute.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that's called. Parasailing. And there were three women that were shooting a live video and they were parasailing and they were looking down and you could see a school of sharks down there, like just down there, and they kept going lower and they were freaking out. The video was like 3 minutes long,
yeah,
of them just like going down and screaming and thrashing in the water and the guy bringing them back up, and you could like see all these sharks down there. That's just what we know.
I mean, that is portrayed in Piranha 3D.
That is
the same thing.
Yeah.
They're pulling her through the lakes and there's the piranha underneath her.
Piranha
3D is what they called it.
Oh, the Eli Roth. No, he's not. He's in it.
I think he's in it.
Yeah,
Elizabeth Shue, I think, is the main star. She's
right.
Like the cop.
You're right. Yeah. That's
and Jerry O'Connell is in it.
Yes, and he gets his wiener bit off.
He does get his wiener bit off.
Yes. Yes.
Actually like that one.
No, yeah, that's Alexander Asia.
Asia. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
I forgot about that.
French, right?
Yep.
And he did some other great ones, too.
Yeah.
Which I can't think of.
I can't either.
But yeah. No, that was great. And the sequel, Piranha 3DD, is, I think, lame.
I never knew it was even a thing.
Yeah, sadly. You know, great title for a sequel.
Sure.
You know, you're thinking like, oh, this is going to be another extravaganza.
Yeah.
But the movie was so, not all the boobs in the world would save that movie from being
okay.
A dullard. So that's just my two cents.
And a remake of the Joe Dante from the 70s, Piranha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Piranha, which was kind of like a low budget ripoff of Jaws.
Right.
You know,
right.
In the same vein, just like Zombie was for Dawn of the Dead. Different movies altogether, but.
Right.
Made on the heels of the success of a greater Jaws, which of course goes without mention. You know, we could, you know, talk sharks the whole time too.
We absolutely could.
Sharknado, another classic.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
Classic.
But, I mean, Jaws, all the way up to whatever they were. I mean, Jaws the Revenge, I can't even fathom that one. But for me, a huge favorite, you know, shark underwater is the Meg.
Yeah.
I love the Meg. Different than the book.
Yeah.
But still, like, man, a megalodon, that is one of my all-time favorite, like, cryptids. You know, some people still say they exist under there.
I mean, they're good.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know.
There's nothing more terrifying than a shark that could swallow you whole sideways.
Yeah. I mean, that's one.
That's what she said.
And like Piranha 3DD, Meg 2 was fucking horrible. Just.
Yeah. Was it?
Just fucking terrible. Nah. Yeah, we at the first time we were watching, like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
We paid full price to see this bitch, and halfway through, we're like, I wish I didn't pay full price to see this bitch.
Right, right. Aww.
What a waste.
Was there anything else about The Abyss? Because I feel like I might have hijacked this away from it.
Oh, maybe. So, for those who are, like, animal activists, there's a scene in there where they put a rat in a container for a breathing liquid, which was actually, like, real. And and they had to cut away from some scenes because the rats would poop themselves. And that's very sad. But it actually is a thing that they would use this liquid. And none of the rats were harmed. They all lived happily long little lives afterward. But I was like, oh, that's creepy.
Wow.
I was like, oh, I don't know how. Oh, I think I read those things like on a trivia. I was like, oh my god, that's actually real?
I was like,
it wasn't just a rat. Just okay. Wow.
Yeah, I guess Cameron is so obsessed with, like, ocean stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I read recently about, he was making that one documentary about, like, going down to that one trench.
Yep.
The thing that I thought was interesting was, like, he was down there when September 11th happened, and when he came back up, he learned that September 11th had happened. Oh. I don't know if that's... I never, like, looked up to see, you know, to fact check that thing, but that would be weird. Like, you go down into the ocean and you come up, and like, the world's kind of different again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I never heard that.
Yeah.
But I know he's been obsessed with it. There was another small factoid that I learned, maybe the same place as you, about the Abyss, is that the scene where he's bringing her back to life, mm-hmm. like, they, I don't know if they shot it multiple times to get the best take, but at one point, you can see, like, he's doing the scene, and then you see a wipe come across the screen and clear the screen of wetness, and they just kept shooting, because that was Cameron's favorite shot.
Okay.
So if you watch that, you will see, you don't even pay attention to it. I've never seen it before.
I don't remember.
But somebody brought that up.
Okay.
And then you see it. They're just like during the scene, and you just see this like quick as it's kind of moving. So
right.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah.
Very quick, cool wipe edit. Yeah.
Great acting in that movie, though. Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
From Terminator took a turn for the worse, man. That guy was so cool in Terminator.
Yeah.
Such an asshole in that movie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember it.
He was
the bad guy. He's the one who lost his mind and had the shakes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, yeah, and he had the mustache, the real asshole mustache.
Right.
You know.
Asshole.
Yeah, Michael Biehn is great. He's super cool.
No, he is. And I remember, like, Leviathan just coming right on the heels of The Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they must have, like, you know, oh my gosh, people are liking this stuff.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We need more underwater.
More underwater.
We had those right around, there's three of them, or four of them, that came out right at the same time to a greater degree. The more A-grade, bigger budget by Sean Cunningham from Friday the 13th. And if you listen to the music of Deep Star 6, you will hear the, what's his name, the composer, I can't remember his name right now, sounds like a Friday the 13th movie.
Right.
And that's the director of the original, Sean Cunningham, Deep Star 6, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had the giant crab monster.
Right.
Yes. which I think was a fantastic design. They needed to show more of it.
Yeah.
But so there was that. And to a lesser degree, but still, you know, released in theaters was Leviathan. Richard Crenna from Rambo doing his best sort of twisted doctor. But that was like a kind of a cross between some that and The Thing.
Right.
Because they were mutating.
And Richard Crenna was in Death Ship, too. Okay. All these guys go to this. Do you remember this in the 80s?
Vaguely, yeah. Vaguely.
Kind of like a haunted ship, which is a cool idea.
Yes.
Probably not done well, and still we could use a better haunted ship movie at some point, I'm sure.
Right.
Because it seems like, duh, make a haunted ship movie.
And,
The cool thing about this Sean Cunningham is that how the water lore is in a bunch of his stuff. When you think about it, he made that, but there's also like, so like the Friday 13th, Jason is connected to the water a lot when you think about it. That's where he dies. That's where he's like reborn.
And that's right? What he's scared of in Jason Takes Manhattan, which is a shit movie.
And then, was it, I'm going to mess up the title, but you'll know what I'm talking about. Last House on the Left?
That's a movie.
She walks right into the water.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So it's all this like. You're talking about the remake.
Okay, is that the one? You're right.
That's a great fucking remake.
And that scene.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. Yeah.
Like, right after she gets, like, brutalized and everything. Yeah. She's a professional swimmer.
Right.
Yeah.
And she just walks right into the water, which, so Cunningham seems to have this water lore thing that he works with sometimes in movies.
To be a nerd,
yeah.
Cunningham produced, I believe, the original Last House. Wes Craven directed it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And the remake they had nothing to do with except for the original. But no, that's great. Good point.
yeah. No.
I'm just spouting useless points. But to go back, though. So Deep Star 6, Leviathan.
Right.
And then at the same time, Endless Descent. Which I can't remember which year came out with, but we just watched it. We were talking about it. It's so weird because the universe was listening. I was talking about Endless Descent because we were looking through Chaz Balin's More Gore Score book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I remember this. It had like a 9 on the gore score. I'm like, I haven't seen that anywhere. And we're going, like the next day we go through Tubi and I'm like, what's this underwater movie look? It's got a different name, which I can't remember.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, fuck, it's Endless Descent. Directed by J.P. Simon, who also gave us Slugs from the Sean Hudson novel.
Slugs. Yeah. Okay. Slugs.
So there were those three, and there was another one right around the same time that were underwater creature monsters.
Oh, wow.
Of course, James Cameron is, you know, completely different than all those, but it was like a time in the 80s where we were going underwater.
Wasn't there like the shark movie with the LL Cool J too?
Yeah.
Well, that's way, dude.
Is that later?
That's Deep Blue Sea, and that's way later, dude. You're talking. Don't even go there. Yeah, but I like that movie too.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was done by Gina Davis's husband or ex husband, whatever.
Oh, Rennie Harlan.
Yes, Rennie Harlan.
Yeah.
Yes, who gave us, what was that one with the pirates?
Pirates
or whatever?
Cutthroat Island.
Was it Cutthroat Island?
Wasn't it? What is it?
Butthroat Island.
I have no idea.
Butt Pirates of... No. Leviathan. There's another one. Well, a little bit later, but still in that arena, Deep Rising. Do you remember Deep Rising?
With, I don't.
Treat Williams. And
what?
Famke Janssen. Is that how you say it? Famke Janssen?
Yeah, Famke.
Famke?
Yeah.
Famke. Dude, I met her once.
Yeah?
I met her once at the monthly comic book convention in Los Angeles at the Shrine Auditorium.
Yeah?
Like, literally, they would have one main guest each month. They would have a monthly, and they would have one main guest, giant. Like, you'd always see Glenn Danzig running around buying comic books and everything in there. But this one time, I could go on about it because it was so much fun. This one time, they had Tyler Mane as the main guest there. I think it was right around X-Men time or something.
Okay.
But me and Damon, my son to those who don't care, were there watching him talk. And I just looked to the left of me, and there she was standing directly next to me. And I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? And she's like, oh, I'm good. You guys enjoying yourself? And we're like, yeah, this is really cool. It's like wonderful to see him up there. And she's like, yeah, I'm here with him.
Oh, cool.
I was like, wow. Well, no shit. Yeah. Fucking X-Men woman. You know?
Right, right.
But yeah, she's in Deep Rising. That is like...
Okay.
It's like Die Hard meets Cthulhu.
What?
Yeah, and it's got the... I can't remember his name. I believe it was made by... This is not, I'm thinking Scott Summers, but that's Cyclops from the X-Men.
Sure.
But it's Steve Summers, who made the Mummy movies.
Okay.
You know the Mummy movies?
Yeah, yeah.
They got that like kind of goofy side character who's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That guy, he's in Deep Rising as the same sort of character.
Okay.
And he's like the third wheel.
All right.
And yeah, they're like... You know, it's like Die Hard. He's got to like, drive his boat out with these mercenary-type guys to, like, go and do this thing.
Sure.
And they get to this giant boat in the middle of the ocean. They find all the bodies on the ship have been, like, sucked dry of all of their fluids and shit.
Okay.
And they're actually... It's not a Cthulhu, but it is an actual thing in the ocean, like these, like... worms.
Okay.
These ocean worms that they say from the deepest depths could grow much, much bigger.
Okay.
And it's this thing with 90s, late 80s, early 90s CGI.
Okay.
So it looks a little goofy, but yeah, Deep Rising, dude. It's a good one that goes right along in that same sort of realm.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yep.
No, and that's a good point, is like, even like Lovecraft was big into, because he's from New England, so he's got, you know, the whole Deep Ones lore, and Cthulhu's from the oceans, and then they made that movie Dagon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a pretty cool underwater horror movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That
Fish Lady.
Fish Lady.
She's got tentacles.
Yeah, that woman, she's a Spanish actress.
Yes.
Who was in, she's in 30 Coins from,
yep.
Not Del Toro, but you know who I'm talking about. The guy who made Day of the Beast.
Day of the Beast, yeah.
Yeah.
Iglesias.
Yes, Julio Iglesias.
No, different Iglesias. I can't remember his first name.
Enrique Iglesias.
No, not that one either.
Nope, nope, nope.
Alex de Iglesias.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she plays the Dagon lady.
Okay.
She's in 30 Coins, and she was in that other one, too, where she plays, like, the sister, and they keep the guy a hostage and keep him sick or whatever.
I don't remember what that's called.
Yeah, but that was good. I started following her on Facebook. She's got, like, a gazillion followers, but I'm like, that lady, whoever she is.
That lady.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, Dagon is great. It's sort of an unsung Stuart Gordon masterpiece.
Yeah.
People
have forgotten that one. I think it was... It comes so much later than the era that people normally know him from.
Right.
So they've kind of forgotten about him.
Yeah, because when he made Reanimator and From Beyond, that was his heyday. That was the golden age of splatter right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then later on, he started to do those full moon produced things. Like, do you remember Stuart Gordon's Pit and the Pendulum?
I remember that, and I remember Castle Freak.
Yep, Castle Freak, another... But I like Castle Freak.
Castle Freak's great.
Yeah, that's... Giorgio.
And Barbara Crampton's in it.
Yes.
She's great in it.
Yes, Barbara Crampton's great. Barbara, I hope you're listening. We love you.
We've gone far off of the mark of one.
She's fucking ageless, dude.
Yeah.
She's like 60, 70 maybe. I don't even know.
She still looks beautiful.
She looks like she's fucking 30, dude. Like, I hate you, but we love you. And,
What's your skincare routine?
Let me reel back in for a second. Dagon, like you were saying, is connected to all the Lovecraftian themes.
Right.
Which, if we transport ourselves much further and skip so many great B-movies, we get to, what year was it? 2020, Underwater with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Which, have you seen that?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I tracked it. Well, I remember you saying, oh my God, this movie's going to be cool. You should see it. And it was before you had seen it. And then when I saw that, one of my favorite actors, the French guy, I'm not going to remember now.
Enrique Iglesias?
No. That's not French at all. But, no, this one actor that I really like was in it. So I tracked it down, and it was great.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Really great creature, I guess.
Design.
Yeah.
Just the little ones, too. Like, and there's a very large one at the very end.
Yeah. And the director.
But oh, my God.
The director was say he couldn't tell producers that this was his Lovecraft homage. He didn't want to be pigeonholed.
Right. Put into that box.
Yeah. So he would call them something else. But after it was made on the making of, he was like, oh, yeah, that's Cthulhu.
Yeah. You know? Seriously. Yeah. I mean, how can you not say, like, people watch it and they. We're like, yeah, that's fucking Cthulhu.
Vincent Cassell.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's Love the older him. Guy.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. One of my favorite actors. And, like, when I saw he was in it, that's what made me chase down underwater. But it's also, it's got that one other cool thing about this. We're always, like, we're talking about things like the monsters or the idea of, like, you know, the abyss having, like, you know, oh, you're trapped here. Mm-hmm. But the thing with underwater that I thought was cool was, like, you felt the claustrophobia.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's another cool aspect to these movies is, like, if you can get that cool claustrophobic feeling too, oof.
Yeah.
And that one really does it.
End, basically, mm-hmm. You know, just the way that they put that in the timeline is you start off and it's just one person, you know, and you end with just one. But there's so many different things that they make you feel.
Right.
Like, you know, uneasy.
Yeah, that one was such a treat because it had little fanfare before it came out. I mean, I didn't hear shit about it until pretty much right there. We were like, well, we got to go to the theater. If it's in the theater, we're going to go just check it out.
You know? Cool.
And even at the time, I was like, Kristen Stewart, for me, is like hit and miss. You know,
absolutely.
Like,
she's not horrible, but it is hit and miss.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah, like...
I don't know.
But she... We saw that in the theater, and we're both... left just like, we're so lucky that we got to see this on a big screen.
Yeah.
We're really fortunate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Especially, you know,
she's the amazing.
Love of Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was so fucking cool. And by the end, we were just like,
yes!
Oh my God!
Yes. Yes. And I need to back up just a little bit, go back to what we were talking about, like, kaijus. So, Pacific Rim.
Oh, yeah.
So... those creatures were amazing. Like, they come out through like a portal in the ocean. Just this huge, gigantic beast that get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, and they have like their giant robots. What more can you love? I love it.
Yeah,
I love
that movie. It's super cool.
Did you ever see the ripoff, the Atlantic Rim?
No, really?
It's terrible.
Really?
Yeah, it's made by that one company. There's a company that do like the, what do they call it? Like the Mockbusters.
Oh, okay.
There's like one, well, I guess there's probably several now, but there was one company that started to do that, Mockbusters, where they just would, you know, do a riff on, you know, but make it's garbage.
Right.
Absolutely
garbage. You know, after Godzilla Kong came out, there was one they put out called Monster versus Ape. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
And I just watched a little bit of that. It was like,
oy.
It is the worst piece of fucking shit. Like, you could at least, there are some of those goofy sci-fi movies.
Absolutely.
Ones that I enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, that to me are good enough because they're fun. Like, what was the one with, like, the Mongolian Death Worm? There was, like, some B, C-grade movie actor that was, like, a little star. Or, like, maybe it was Casper Van Dien. I don't even remember him past Starship Troopers.
Oh, my God,
But there was, like, one of those guys that was, like, leading this, you know, Mongolian Death Worm movie. And I'm like, this is going to suck. But I was like, oh, it only half sucks. But there's enough Mongolian death worms in it to appreciate it.
Sure.
You know, because I love me a Mongolian death worm.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
You know, I usually go, when I'm going to an Asian buffet, I'm upset when they don't have Mongolian death worm on the...
Yeah.
Up at the, you know, the buffet.
It reminds me of that one song, Shifting Sands, by Lords of October. That's about a Mongolian death worm.
It is.
But I digress. I was going to go back just for a little bit.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I was a wee lad, I saw on TV a movie called Tentacles.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember Tentacles?
I remember the opening scene so well.
With the baby carriage.
The baby carriage.
Yeah, right.
Bam. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that was on television.
Yeah.
That's, and you're like, oh my God, a baby carriage was yanked into the bay.
Yeah.
And that was Tentacles. And that was freaky as hell.
An Italian movie.
Was it?
Yeah. I just saw it on TV. Like, I thought it was just like a movie of the week or whatever, like Bad Ronald or something.
Right,
but,
right.
It was just, I never knew until later that it was an Italian production.
Spaghetti Monster.
And another one that I saw in the theater that was ruined by my little cousin. I know my family has the stories about this, but like when we were young, real young,
yeah,
Orca came out.
Oof.
And me and my brother, we wanted to go see that. We were visiting relatives in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I had a little cousin named Victor. And Victor was like, he wanted to go see Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo.
Okay.
And me and my brother, Joe, we were like, you know, we want to go see Orca.
Yeah.
And he saw it and looked at the picture and he's like, he would be like, no, it's murder, it's murder. With the accent that he had was even worse. I won't even do the accent. But we had to go and watch Herbie Goes to fucking Monte Carlo, which I guess wasn't bad. But later on, it was like such a buildup when we finally saw Orca. We were just like, Richard Harris, oh, man.
God. That guy's classic. And you're quoting him in a horror movie? Yes.
Yeah. That was... That's a great fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Orcas.
Yeah.
And when they kill the offspring and you just see his eye.
Yep.
The orca's eye. He's like, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
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 The orca.
And well, I mean, smart creatures. And what's cool is like, the Richard Harris character, it reminds you of like Moby Dick and Herman Melville stuff, because he's like someone who knows that he deserves it.
Yeah,
he's like, oh no, we deserve to get killed by this creature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not man versus creature. Like, he understands nature, and it's such a cool movie.
Yeah,
for that reason.
Orca, it's so much better than so many of the others that came out. You know, there were so many of those. I'm looking at these pictures now, like Barracuda. You know, Killer Crocodile.
There's a lot of crocodile movies.
Barracuda's a cool heart song.
Octopus, that was later on, but no, like all these other ones.
Yeah.
I
mean, one of the things to think about too is the idea that water is a source that traps people too.
Mm. Yeah.
So some of the horrors that I thought about with this was, and I'm just gonna list a bunch of them, and then we can go back and talk about whatever. But The Last of the Demeter, they're trapped in the boat, as well as Dead Calm.
Last Voyage of the Demeter?
Yeah.
With the vampire?
Yeah.
That's not a sea creature.
No, I'm saying they're trapped. It's the water's use. It does count.
Mongolian death worm.
The Lighthouse, trapped.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right.
The Wicker Man, trapped on the island.
Trapped, the lighthouse trapped by Willem Dafoe's fart.
Pretty much.
There's a similar kind of film called Cold Skin, which has a lady mermaid in it.
Which Cold is, Skin. Yeah, yes. That's like a Lovecraftian one, too.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really creepy. But
yeah.
In that similar kind of aspect of the lighthouse, but not as farty and drunk.
But the trapped one that I really was excited to talk about. Like, you know, you're trapped on this island, you just can't get off.
Yeah.
And you're...
Gilligan?
Sure. Gilligan. But if Gilligan had an anthropophagus on it...
Oh, right.
That's a great horror sea movie, right?
The Grim Reaper.
You can't get away from this guy. You're trapped on this island. You know, like Wicker Man, but a little bit more,
yeah.
Anthropophagus. I mean...
Yeah.
That one is one I would recommend to the listener if they have not seen Anthropophagus yet. But you You got to take...
It's not a sea creature, though.
Not a sea creature. We didn't say it was... This wasn't sea creatures. It wasn't even reduced like that.
Yes, it was.
Underwater horror.
No, I mean, I can't. That's
surrounded by water.
Of course,
horror.
How do you say his name? The director, Artiside Machichetti?
Yeah, I have no
idea.
Joe D'Amato.
The Grim Reaper is the more commonly known name.
Is it?
As Anthropophagus.
Huh.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper.
Okay, I never heard it called that.
Yeah, George Eastman plays the Anthropophagus.
Yes.
And he's like Paul size.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul size. He's been in other stuff too, but I remember.
That's probably where Paul is. I think he's making Anthropophagus 3.
Did you see there was a 2?
Yeah, I did see that there was a 2. That's why I said a 3.
That's crazy that you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second one, I can't remember too much about it, but the first one's classic.
Yeah, the second one's pretty forgettable.
Yeah, it kind of figures.
Yeah. But the first one, ooh, that's a movie.
That's what I'm thinking of.
What, Slithus?
Slithus is the other one I was thinking of. Slithus. That's like Island of the Fishmen.
Okay.
Yes, Slithus. Thank you.
I get a sticker.
Yes. Yeah, Slithus. That is another old 80s one with humanoids from the deep.
Creatures. Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, next very page, much. Next page.
Wait, there's a next
well,
page.
Well,
oh.
Hey.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, how long have we been rolling here? Let's see here. Paul
you
would
got
normally.
Long. That's how long. I mean, what?
Oh, we're just at an hour. Excuse me. Yeah, we can go for another 3 hours.
Okay. Sure.
Let's talk about Slithus.
Let's talk about Slithus.
No,
what a cool name for a band, Slithus.
Oh, there you go.
No, I mean, there's so many. I was just trying to go back when I was thinking of, like, things I saw as a kid.
Sure.
You know, Tentacles, Orca, and Jaws, and all those, like, through the 70s, the 80s ones that were mentioned. And, like, I know the 90s ones, the late 80s, early 90s, Deep Rising, and all of those. You get to a point where it's not to complain, but, you know, we live in an era now where you can make a movie on your iPhone.
Right.
And many people do.
Sure.
So there's an over, but just like music, like, you know, there's a new metal band every week, and some of them sound pretty good, but you get lost. You know, for me, I get lost with how many there are. And that's why I have to resort to lists and look back and say, oh yeah, that's right. There was this one.
There
and
was
that
this.
One.
Yeah.
It kind of blurs all together. One that doesn't blur is Alligator.
Right.
With Robert
Forster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you know too that there is a line in that movie where he's talking with the female lead.
Yeah.
And they say something about his hairline. Something about his hairline, his hair is going, and he was like, oh, you know, well, I saw this was happening, so I did, you know, took care of it, did something about it. And it was natural, so they kept it in. I might be paraphrasing this wrong.
Okay.
But they kept it in the script.
Okay.
Later, because Quentin Tarantino was such a big fan of Alligator.
Right.
He used the same line in Jackie Brown.
Okay. Because I knew he grabbed Robert because of Alligator. But
yes.
I didn't know about that line at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know
the
same
thing in Jackie Brown. Jackie's
oh, cool.
talking to him about getting old, and he says, same thing.
Yeah.
I noticed something, so, you know, I did something about it.
And I saw Alligator as a kid on TV.
Yeah.
So I saw it when it came out, which is kind of cool.
I love that movie.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made for TV horror, man. That's another one.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if we've done that or not, but there's...
At some point, we've pretty much got to, because we kind of dance around that one a lot when we're talking about other things.
Yeah.
And made for TV horror... had like two really great big things. One was the 70s, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think like the 80s with the Stephen King miniseries. I mean, you can't deny either one of those two periods.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty incredible.
The 70s for me especially.
Yeah.
Late 60s and through the 70s. Maybe a couple in the 80s.
Yeah.
A couple of them. Like, what was the one with the little creatures? They remade it with...
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yes. That original.
See how I knew what you're thinking?
Yes.
Because that one messed me up.
Yeah, yeah, that was on TV.
When people talk about, like, what was the one horror movie that you shouldn't have watched that messed you up as a child? That was the one for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was that. Even more so than Trilogy of Terror, for some reason.
Oh, yeah, Trilogy of Terror is amazing.
That one, yeah.
You know, there was
we're off the subject again.
There was a little video store. Gosh, I don't even know how they did this or whatever, but my buddy Robin told me she had an account at this video store somewhere like in Burbank, somewhere North Hollywood, some dumb shit, in California, that would rent. They had, you know, like duped copies of movies they would rent, and they had this whole hundreds of movies from made-for-TV horror.
Oh, cool.
And that's where I saw a bunch of them. Like, I remember, Crowhaven Farm. I would get that, go home, two VCRs, copy that shit.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many of these fucking movies. That's how I first saw Bad Ronald. Because I didn't know. I didn't catch that on TV. But yeah, we're getting off sidetracked. But yeah, that's
a great era.
Oh my God. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Race with the Devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was made for TV. Fucking Peter Fonda and Loretta Swit from MASH.
Speaking of Duel.
Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
Yes, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. That's a perfect one. That was an event. That was an event when that shit came out.
Paranormal.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, getting off.
Definitely.
They're... Oh.
Scary, you must have a bunch more, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did we hit most of your list?
Because we were talking about, like, doing underwater, and we're talking about doing bugs, too. So I put
We're going to do bugs in the future. We'll definitely do bugs in the future. The idea was, like, spring is here, and I kept, like, my windshield was always covered with bugs.
Ew.
So that's why I ran in, and I messaged you guys, like, what about bugs as a topic? Because my windshield...
There's a lot of bug movies, though, so
yeah,
we can
there is.
That in a different episode, for
you
sure.
Definitely have to do bugs in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bugs are gross.
Yeah, especially on your windshield.
Mm-hmm. I love me a clean windshield. I'm always telling him, can you please, clean your windshield?
So yeah.
I can see.
Some real standouts for me as I look through this list. I have to say, I've always loved Lake Placid.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that's another Sean Cunningham movie, isn't it?
Oh, Grandma.
Might be.
Betty White.
Yeah.
I can't remember. That's got... Bridget Fonda, and I think one of her last movie roles before she vanished. Well, I mean, we know she's alive, but she just gave up on Hollywood and shit.
Yeah.
I don't fucking blame her, so did I.
Yeah.
And,
she's probably hanging out with Paul right now. That's why you're not seeing Paul either. And Bridget.
Polynoids from the Deep.
Polynoids.
Lake Placid, I think, is wonderful. That's got
amazing.
A great alligator in it.
Oh, my God.
Or is it a crocodile?
Whatever. I think it's an alligator. I think
it's
it is.
A big old alligator.
Oh, my God.
It's like the,
very
the Meg
realistic.
Version of an alligator.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what?
There's a scene where it's like underwater and you
see...
God, it's amazing. It's an animatronic.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. There it's are some CG scenes, but... Yeah, and it's got that right amount of humor in it, too. I dig that. But I love those nature gone awry movies.
Yeah.
Like that... another one, alligator movie or crocodile movie that I think is really good, is called Rogue. And that has Sam, what's his name from Avatar? The dude that plays Jake Sully.
I don't remember his last name right now.
Rogue. I just saw it on this list here.
Wasn't there another alligator movie that was recent? Forgot what it was. There's so many alligator movies.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. There's Croczilla. That's an Asian one.
There's one that they had, like, there was alligators under the house. The dad went down to go fix something.
Oh, that was the Sam Raimi produced one.
Yeah.
Another Alexander Asia movie.
Really?
Fact. Yeah. It doesn't have an alligator name for the movie, but yeah, that's like when Florida has a hurricane.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alexander Asia did that one too.
Right.
Gosh darn it, I was just going, Sam, what's his name? Oh, Frankenfish is another great one. The Reef. The Reef is a really good one. Oh, balls. You know what I'm talking about. Rogue, anyway. It's
right.
Jake Sully plays kind of a jerk at the beginning, and then turns out that, you know, he is not such a bad guy after all. Rogue, there it is. And to me, that is, am I just, like, clicking this for no reason?
Yeah, I think you just have to...
Yeah, it's not taking me to it. There, not to be mistaken, it's 2007, not to be mistaken with Rogue, which is also the name of, what's her name? The
X-Men?
No. It's a movie about a rogue lion, but it's a lady from Transformers that is in that one.
Megan Fox.
Is that her name? Megan Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sam Worthington. Yeah, plays...
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays kind of a jerk at the beginning. But yeah, Rogue, that is a really good Crocagator movie.
Cool.
Yeah, there's that one.
Crocagator.
And what is the Alexander Asia one called? Because it's not an alligator name.
Yeah. And one of the things, like, we can't forget, like, the Mad Max of water movies, right? Waterworld?
Waterworld was fun.
Oh, whatever. Crawl. It's called Crawl.
Yeah, Crawl. Yep.
Right.
Sorry, folks. My brain doesn't work all the time.
Yeah, Crawl. You've not seen Crawl?
No.
Okay, yeah. He also did Piranha. He did Horns and Mirrors. And
oh, cool.
Oh, he did the Hills Have Eyes remake. That's right. Which I really like that one, too. But yeah, Crawl. That one is produced by Sam Raimi.
Oh, cool.
And it has this lady who's like, you know, estranged from her family, this and that, and this hurricane's coming down in Florida, and she can't get a hold of her dad.
Right,
so
right.
She goes and tries to find him, and the police are like, no, you can't go, this is, the hurricane's coming, get the fuck out of here, and she's like, why, I'm going to look for my dad, and she goes,
wait, what does she do?
She goes, wow, I'm going to look for my dad, and she goes to the old house he's working on, finds him, like, in the basement, he's been attacked.
Oh, wow.
And all these gators have, like, you know, because it's, like, flooding in the area. And they've all, like, a couple big ones have taken refuge in the house. And so she's got to, you know, like, deal with it. And it's an Asia movie, so it's good.
Oh, cool.
It's real good. Yeah.
There was also that cool shark one where the girl's trapped on literally, like, the rock. So she's not even on an island.
That's Ryan Reynolds' wife.
Right, right. And I can't remember the name of that thing. But I remember that was, like, really good.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one. Reef? Nope. The Reef is a different one. That's really good, too, though. Oops. What's her name? Ryan Reynolds' wife?
I don't think that's her name.
No, we just watched it not too long ago, too.
Oh, my God. Blake Lively.
Yes.
And her movies include The Shallows.
The Shallows.
Yes.
Super
cool. That
was
really good.
Super intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know that was his wife when I watched that. But yeah, that's another really... There's so many. Because the water is unknown.
Yeah.
There's so many things down there. The fucking Kraken and shit.
Hurt you.
The Kraken and shit.
The Kraken from Clash of the Titans.
That's a great one, actually.
There you go.
That's an amazing monster.
Yes.
Ray Harryhausen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and Harry Hamlin.
The Harrys. It's a very hairy movie.
As Perseus.
He is Perseus. Yes.
And Sam Worthington from Rogue the Alligator movie plays Perseus in the remake of Clash of the Titans. It all comes together.
It all comes together.
It
folks.
All comes together. That's amazing.
Do you want to wrap it up here?
Yeah. We should also then remind everybody that May 11th, next Saturday, not tomorrow, which is May something.
Right.
But next May 11th, on a Saturday, Flint Farmers Market from 11
till 4?
11 till 4?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Free admission, Mayhem at the Market, put on by Flint Horror Collective. You'll be able to come see all of us there.
Yep.
Come meet us, greet us, get some of the fancy cheese, and hopefully...
I want some cheese.
Polynoid from the Deep will resurface.
He should resurface at that.
Yeah, I mean, and if he doesn't, if for some reason Uncle Salem, Paul Kanellis, is no longer with us, don't worry about a thing. We got Scarra.
Right.
We got Scarra to take his place.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Auntie Salem.
Yep.
Auntie Salem.
But no, this was a great one.
This is cool.
I came entirely unprepared. I was telling you, I literally was doing so much stuff around the house, preparing for that Lords of October show tomorrow at Corona Road Bar at 10:30 when we play. Was preparing for that and doing all kinds of shit, and I was like, we're going to Glenn's.
Yeah.
And I came over here, I'm like, I love sea monster movies and underwater horror, and that's what you get. And you love Glenn? And Glenn's okay.
Oh, son of a... But that's great. The great thing about us, too, is like we're like a great jazz band where we can just riff.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this
is. Hands.
Yeah. Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
See you at Mayhem.
My name is Sarah.
And I'm Glenn.
And I'm Lucifer.
And we are the Flint Horror Collective.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
See you guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you later. Alligator.
Bye.